All right, amen. Are you picking me up back there? Okay. Let's go ahead and get into a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit. We thank you for each and every student, Lord God, that this second year class, Lord, is getting everything they need. They're being refined in ministry, Lord God. And Lord God, they're going to align up with their divine assignment, Lord God, and go out, Lord God, and do what you have called them to do. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for the vision, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for this school. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be continuing on in our books, and if you want to keep up or kind of know where I'm at, somewhere around page 50, we're going to be talking about how to develop the spirit of honor in our lives, how to develop the spirit of honor, things that we can do on a regular basis to help develop the spirit of honor in our lives. One of the things, the first thing, and we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is honoring God. You know, you first must, by all means, honor God. You know, when you honor God, by just honoring Him and honoring His Word, well, then that'll help you now to begin, because you first have to show honor before you can receive honor, and that's so very important. Open up your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, I'm going to just read it out of my notes. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 5 and 17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." So let the elders, now one of the reasons why we're going to this scripture is because it's talking here about double honor. And what the author says, in order to know how to show double honor, you first must know how to at least show honor. The minimum requirement is to show honor. And so it's very important, because one thing we need to understand is that there's different levels of honor. You know, first, like I said, you honor God. Secondly, you honor the apostolic gift, apostles and prophets. You know, by honoring them, you're honoring God, because you're honoring the assignment, and that's so very important. Then we talked about honoring the fathers, spiritual fathers that they have in the land. You know, we also talked about fivefold ministry gifts, honoring the fivefold ministry gifts. You know, honoring your parents, we talked about that. You know, honoring elderly people, or people, you know, who are older than you, you know, honoring them. And then we even talked about honoring the anointing that's on your life. And that's very important, because, well, in line with what the apostle was teaching, you know, there is a divine assignment for each and every one of us, you know, and it's so very important. That's why it's so important to pray, Lord, reveal the mysteries. Reveal your mysteries, Lord God. Give me wisdom, Lord God, so that I'll know how to align myself properly with the divine assignment that you have for my life. One of the things I always state is that you are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. And so when you begin to hook up and get in that divine alignment, doing what God's called you to do, all the provision of God is going to show up to equip you and to give you everything you need in order to get that assignment accomplished, you know. And that should be something foremost in your life. That should be something that you want to do greater than anything else. Greater than a job, greater than a marriage, you know, because in all essence, when you begin to fulfill, by honoring God, the assignment that God has given you, the Bible says what? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, or God's way of doing things in regards to your life, your assignment, whatever that is. And in everything you desire, you know, the job, the husband, the wife, you know, whatever it is, God says, I'm gonna fulfill that in you when you first align up with the assignment by seeking me first and getting that wisdom. Amen? All right. The person becomes an elder. Now, I'm talking in reference to an elder because it says that an elder receives double honor, or should receive double honor. But a person becomes an elder by serving consistently and consecutively over a period of years, and actually many years, you know, because it states that, you know, an elder is worthy of double honor. So what does an elder do in order to acquire that honor? Well, they serve consistently and consecutively over a period of years. And their years of faithful service, you know, makes them a candidate for honor. Getting back to what I just stated earlier about knowing your purpose, knowing your assignment. See, when you know where God has placed you, now it becomes easier to serve consistently, you know, and consecutively over the years because you know you're in your proper place. And there's nothing like knowing I'm where God has called me to be. That's going to bring honor to God. And when you begin to bring honor to God by you know, say you have a talented vocal gift and you can sing and praise God, making melodies, not only just in your heart, but ministering to other people. As you begin to develop that gift, well, then your gift will make room for you. You know, it'll open doors for you. But one of the things, and the apostle stated it better than anybody can say, you know, but you always got to really be careful and recognize this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. But it's you know, it's you always get the self out of it, you know, because you don't want to. Whenever somebody comes to me and says, Brother Calhoun, you've really been a blessing to me, and just begin to show honor by, you know, let me know how much they enjoyed or they appreciated certain things I might have did or said, I always bring it back to, well, just let's thank God because, you know, just like Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, you know, and I thank God for my apostle because I'm just following him. So what you hear or see me do is because of what I've seen and heard him do, you know. And so that puts things back into, because, you know, that's why the apostle stated, you know, that there's not many noble people or many people of high esteem or education that are called, because you don't want to let anything about you. God will use the education. He'll use the intellect and the ability. But when you recognize that it's all about God and people see, you know, that it's not the individual, but it's them allowing and yielding to God and letting God now begin to structure and to mold and to shape their lives into the vessels of honor and glory that he desires for us to be. I need to move on because this class is a little short and I got to keep that in mind. Okay, let's move on. How does one become an elder or receive honor? By faithfully serving their man of God consistently and consecutively over a period of years, by staying with their divine appointed assignment, as you develop spiritually and you can be trusted. That's so very important. You trust in a ministry is vital. Trust in any area, on a job, in a marriage, there's got to be trust. You know, your man of God, your pastor, you know, your spiritual father needs to know that they can trust you. You know, when they ask you to do something, they know that you're able to step into the plate and do it and just carry out the assignment and do what you're told to do. And then once that assignment is done, you back out the way and get back in. You know, if you were on, let's take a baseball game. If you normally on third base, but they know you got a good pitching arm, the pitcher is injured, and say, we need for you to step up to the mound and be the pitcher. Pitcher's the lead man in the game. And so you fulfill that assignment, but the next game, the pitcher's ready, the first-string pitcher, he's ready to get back on the mound, but then you go step back to third base. You know, in ministry, sometimes you might be asked to step up to the plate, you know, but and you fulfill that assignment, you know, and then once you finish it, you go back to what you've been doing. A lot of times people don't like going back to, well, I didn't. You stick with the assignment, you know, you stick with the assignment. And you see, that's when you know, and your pastor, your spiritual father, all know that you can be trusted. You know, and you're not letting the position, because you know it's all a part of the assignment. Okay, let's move on. By showing spiritual maturity, spiritual development and maturity from the teaching that they have received. You know, that's so very important that you demonstrate spiritual maturity, that I'm growing. You know, I can take a licking or a whipping, and I can just keep on going. I'm not going to be like an ostrich and bury my head in the sand when I get corrected, you know. But I'm gonna receive it and learn from it and move on, you know. And that's so important, because a lot of times, sometimes, you know, even as a kid growing up, we all make mistakes. You know, and it's not a problem to make a mistake, but you learn from it and you move on. You know, it's a part of our development spiritually. And that's so very important. And the last aspect of that is by having no hidden agendas, you know, on your own, or trying to advance your own ministry inside your pastor or your man of God's ministry. That's so very important. You want to, how can I say this? Whatever direction that ministry turned, that's the direction you need to be turning. You know, whatever that vision is, that's your vision. You know, and you're supporting, you're undergirding. As he holds his hands up, you're under him, you know, propping that hand up so that the vision can be fulfilled. And that's so very important. Let's look at some qualifications that will help us to get honor. And these are some of the same qualifications for a deacon or for an elder. And this is coming out of 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13. Just kind of let you know the scriptural reference. It says that an elder or a deacon is to be grave, honest, and of good character, honorable, a person of good deeds. I'm reading this is from the Amplified. Not double-tongued, or you know, not somebody who speaks out of both sides of their mouth. Not given to much wine. In other words, you know, not being filled with wine in excess, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the wine we drink is a new wine. It's not Jack Daniels. Amen? All right, just make that clear. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Not greedy of, you know, you're not in it just for the money. You know, the scripture says, not greedy of filthy lucre. You know, you're not, the money comes when you fulfill the assignment. Me and a brother, we were talking today. He called me, and we were just communicating, and I was sharing with him. I said, you know, it's so easy because you're under an anointing, and you got to be careful because you're going to begin to walk in favor, and blessings are going to start coming from sometimes like every direction. But you got to discern and know what's from God and what's a deception from the devil that's going to pull you away. You know, and I've shared the story with you before where I went on for a company project, and they wanted me to do a presentation in front of the CEOs and the presidents and all of the high people in high positions of the company that I work for. And I did such a good job because of the teaching I learned from the ministry and applying my faith to the presentation, that, you know, the guy head over marketing came over to me, offered me a job in sales somewhere in the middle of Kansas. And I'm being honest with you, in the middle of Kansas. And I got excited at first, and I'm thinking, you know, yeah, you know, I'm all excited and a promotion, more money, you know, but I have to move, you know. And the minute I walked away from the auditorium, going back to my car, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and says, I did not call you to Kansas. You know, I didn't call you to Kansas. What did I tell you? You know, when I was at Word of Life some 20-some years ago, Listen up. When I was at Word of Life some 26, 27 years ago, sitting towards the back of the church, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and says, this is where you need to be, period. You know, and I have held on to those words. You know, it's so important to hold on to what the Holy Spirit tell you, because he's not going to renege on what he told you. Now, you might renege on it, but he's not, you know. And when the Holy Spirit spoke something, that's why when I do my new members class, I tell them, I say, it's so very important that you get your feet dug deep into the soil of this ministry, you know, a tree planted by the rivers of water. And settle it in your heart that you know that this is where God has called you to be. Because the wind's going to blow. The wind is going to blow, you know. But if your feet's planted deep in the soil, you're not going nowhere, you know. So you need to, and that's whatever ministry, whoever you're submitted to. Because you're there for a reason, you know. You're not, see, God don't make accidents, okay. And he don't give out misassignments. You know, he gives out thorough and complete assignments that he expects us to do. Now, when we get off base and go somewhere else or do something else, somebody else comes in and finishes the role that was probably designed for you. You know, and one of the things I found when that happens, God ends up bringing somebody else in that's going to be, I hate to say it, more submitted, more loyal than you were. You know, I've learned over the years just to, Lord, you know, just teach me to constantly know how to yield properly and be where I need to be, doing what you have called me to do. Amen. All right, let me move on because my time is moving. Okay, let's deal with this for a minute. And this is a scripture the apostle shared earlier today, but it's in my notes, so we're going to go back over it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. It says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, verse 2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. One way to receive honor is to be found faithful. Faithful means that I can depend upon you. You know, you're going to be where you say you're going to be. You're going to do what you say you're going to do and what I've asked or requested you. And you're going to be faithful means you're going to show up week after week, Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, Monday after Monday, Tuesday after Tuesday, and Saturday after Saturday, and whatever day that you need to show up to do whatever. You know, how can I put this? My job does not come before ministry. My job is a blessing from God that provides monetary means for me and my family. But, you know, I've told my bosses, I said, I'm not gonna be here on Sunday. I'm not gonna be here on Wednesday nights. So, you know, God, when you make commitments to God like that, you know, because when I first started working, I worked nights and days and overtime and just, you know, all kind of odd hours, and they'll switch you on this shift. If you ever worked in the industry, they'll move you around and just because we need you here, you're a good employee, you know. But then when the Lord called me into prison ministry through my apostle, I saw where working shift work, working all kind of overtime and doing, you know, being moved around didn't work well with prison ministry. So I said, Lord, you're going to have to arrange my schedule, give me some kind of work schedule that'll accommodate the assignment. And lo and behold, he got me off of working nights, working weekend, well, working days, but working every other weekend. And that wasn't good enough. It worked for a while, but then I said, Lord, I need to be off every weekend, every Sunday. I need to be off. I need to be home at night. And you know, just things to accommodate ministry. You know, he opened up a door where now you work 8 hours, 5 days a week. And then came along, there was a time where I needed a day off either at the beginning of the week or the end of the week, because there was one facility that would only allow people to go in and to minister during business hours. So I needed either the Friday or the Monday or the Wednesday off. And I went to my employer and I told him, you know, I needed a day off. You know, I needed either the Monday or the Friday off. And he said, well, if you want to, you can work four 10-hour days and you can take Monday off. That's been about 15 years ago or better. I've never worked 5 days since, you know. And the reason why I'm saying that is God will accommodate you. But you got to put him first, you know. I never missed a beat, never missed a meal, blessed, highly favored, you know. And when you see that, when you do those things, that helps bring honor, because you're sowing honor to God by putting him first, by allowing your pastor or your apostle, letting them know, look, I'm available. Yeah. You know, I'm here to help you fulfill. Yeah. And you can't help but begin to receive honor because you're sowing honor, yeah, you know. Yes, and it's all about the assignment. Mm-hmm. All right, let me just read a few more things and we're going to move on. Don't expect honor if you don't first sow honor. You know, if you want to receive honor, Scripture says you reap what you sow. So you have to first sow honor before you can reap the seeds of honor. There's always a time of preparation. You don't want to have a Gehazi mentality. You know, Gehazi went after stuff. And even though he was following the prophet, he had his eyes on things instead of on sticking to the assignment. And so when the prophet was off somewhere, Gehazi, the same people that wanted to bless the apostle with something, went and said, hey, Gehazi, he wouldn't accept it, but do you want these clothes? Do you want these garments? And he said, yeah, I'll take them, you know. But the prophet had already told him, it's not time for you to receive. You know, there's a time of preparation. I'm gonna share this with you just to let you know. And this is something the Lord spoke to my heart, but Dr. Jeffrey Phillips confirmed it. You know, when people sow into my life, you know, that seed for me to sow into the apostle. You know, what I do is I put it in a special place in my wallet. The next service, whether it's Wednesday or whether it's Sunday, I have a set amount seed that I always sow. That just adds to it, you know. And I pray, you know, whoever sowed it, you know, or sometimes if I don't even know, I just say, Lord, you know, I just thank you for these seeds. I bless them and I bless the hands that sowed them into me. And I, now that seed is going to be a twice sown seed, because I'm going to take that seed and sow it into the apostle, because they're going to receive a blessing from sowing it into me. You know, because of my submission, but I'm going to sow it into the apostle. So that's going to be a double blessing from them, you know, because we all, how can I say this? We're all, you know, a seed can meet any and every need, but what that does, that's you demonstrating honor by giving honor to whom honor is really due. You know, and by doing that, God can't help but honor you. Let me move on. What I want to talk about, I'm going to have to rethink how we talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago about Moses. Turn with me to, I'm going to just read it from the Word. Turn me to Numbers chapter 12. And in Numbers chapter 12, it's a story about Miriam and Aaron and Moses and the disobedience or the dishonor that took place because Aaron and Miriam. Well, go ahead and turn that. I'm going to just read from the Bible because I want to cover some key points here. And then we're going to also move, and we're going to look at another area where Moses, being a man of honor, but people dishonored him, and the consequences that took place. Verse 12 and 1, Numbers 12 and 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman. We already stated that she was a black woman of you know, African descent, whom he had married an Ethiopian woman. Verse 2. And they said, had not the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Had he not spoken also to us? Now Moses was the man, God's, you know, God's mouthpiece. But now, yeah, God does speak to everybody, but certain people God has more intimate fellowship and relation with because of the assignment, you know. And so now they're questioning, you know, what she's saying here. Look, sound like we all equal, but it's not the case. It says in verse 2, and they said, had not the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Had he not also spoken to us? And the Lord heard it. The Lord always listening, and he's omnipotent and omnipresent. That's why you got to be careful what you say, you know, and who you say it to. You got to be careful with. Lord, help me never to ever say a disrespectful word to my man of God, or even think it. You know, just, you know, it just, I'll just draw a blank. No, I can't do it. Can't do it. No. Why? Because that's where your blessing is coming from, you know. You know, you show up to work every day because you expect a check, you know, but at the same time, God has put an apostle or a pastor in your midst that's walking in the blessing, so they could be a channel for you, for the blessings to come down on you. Like I said, Aaron was the high priest, and the Bible says how the oil ran down Aaron's beard, down his skirt, you know, and everywhere his body, you know, the body of Christ, you know, if you're in the right position, if you're the arm, or if you're the coat, or the torso, or the leg, or the foot, if you're in position, you're going to receive everything you need. Okay, let's move on. And it says in verse 3, and the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye three from the temple of the congregation. And they came out. So the Lord, he left his sacred position during that time. That was before Jesus. And so the presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, only was in the Holy of Holies, where you had the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where the presence and the power of God was manifested. And only the high priest once a year could go in that and offer up sins for the people, and that was Aaron. Okay, but all of a sudden now, Miriam, who, as you've read the story, she was Moses' intercessor, she was Moses' older sister, she cared for Moses, she watched Moses, she was there for him, you know. But now she thinks she has a right to speak into his life. You know, verse 5, and the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Miriam and Aaron, and they came out. And he said, hear me now my words. You know, hear now, you know, my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all my house? In other words, he's faithful over all my affairs. You know, he's faithful in my house. You know, I give him right to have reigns over my kingdom, to watch over my kingdom, my people. You know, who are you now to speak against Moses? You know, as I stated once before, and I'm stating again, you never want to put your mouth on a man of God. You know, because they have an assignment that's ordained and appointed by God. The main thing that's on their mind is the assignment, you know, and you don't want to, you don't, matter of fact, I had somewhere, yeah, here it is. God did not want his man being vexed not even by a natural brother or sister. So he came down, you know, from behind the veil because he had to deal with. Whenever there's dishonor, God, you know, in certain situations, it has to be dealt with immediately. That's so very important. So God's, I mean, he said, you know, he actually, you know, did something that he wouldn't, because God's presence and man, I'm sure there had to be some type of shielding, because you just can't stand in the presence of God, you know, because it's just, there are times I've been around apostle or mighty men of God, and the anointing was so strong on them that when I was a student, I'd sit on the front row, and we were in smaller class settings. You guys are in the main sanctuary, and I, as the apostle would be teaching, I'd be sitting on the front row trembling, and I couldn't stop trembling, and it wasn't because I was cold. You know, it was just the anointing, you know. Sometimes the anointing, when the anointing comes in contact with flesh, something sometimes got to give, and sometimes the flesh just can't take it, you know. But the Lord came down because he had to deal with the disobedience. He had to deal with the dishonor, you know. And that's the point I want to bring out, that he came down. And Miriam, as we know, became leprous. And when the author talks about her being cast out for 7 days, you know, and you see, the sin of disobedience like that can cause, you know, when you speak out a turn and you do something of that caliber, you can be stricken with spiritual leprosy, you know, and what that does, that makes you insensitive. You become, because see, leprosy, as the author says, it affects the central nervous system on a physical person, physically, you know. It causes the skin to fall off. It does a lot of things to the body, deformity. And so you become desensitized. Spiritually, you become desensitized to your call. You become desensitized to the times. You become desensitized to the season. You know, it'll desensitize you because you know, you're not going to hear properly spiritually because of the disobedience. You know, and that's so very important that we don't allow, you know, something of that caliber to happen to us. Let me make sure I share. Yeah, here it is. Anytime, okay, the Bible even talks about how God's, let me read that area here. I guess it's verse 14. And the Lord said to Moses, if her father had spat in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be cut off from the camp for 7 days, and afterwards she shall be received again. Okay, anytime God will spit in the face of a ministry, or even say spit in the face of your calling, you know, because that's your ministry, you know, that ministry will suffer leprosy. And the reason why the illustration is being stated like that is because of your dishonor, you know, and you don't want your man or God to, in a sense, spiritually we just don't want it to happen. I'm going to leave it at that. Because it says here that isolation will take place. Leprosy is a disease, as I said, that attacks the nervous system. You cannot feel anymore. You lose sensitivity. Sensitivity to the spirit. Sensitivity to the times. Sensitivity to the season, to your gift, and sensitivity to people. You become insensitive, you know. And everything about walking in the spirit has to do with you're being sensitive to the voice of God, sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit, only doing what God say do, only hearing what God say, you know, that he wants you to do, you know. And you see, when you have spiritual leprosy, you become numb, desensitized, and you don't want that to happen. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to also, too, with the 9 minutes I have left, Let's go now to Numbers chapter 16. This is another situation with Moses. Moses and Corinth. And for the sake of time, I probably won't do a lot of reading on this one, but it is Numbers chapter 16. Well, you know, Corinth, he and the congregation, look at verse 3, Numbers 16 and 3. It says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses. Corinth had got about 250 men who were in the tribe of high esteem and notoriety, and he persuaded them to stand with him against Moses and against Aaron, because apparently Corinth did not like how Moses was running things. Moses was the man. Moses was God's man appointed by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. But Corinth had his own ideas. He says that, verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing that all the congregation are holy, even every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? So basically here Corinth was saying, you know, said we all holy, just like you, Moses, just like you, Aaron. That's not true. That's not true. Yeah, we all holy. Yeah, God, we're all God's children. God loves us. But God chose and chooses whom he desires and puts whomever he desires in positions of authority, you know. And it's for us to recognize that authority and submit to it so that you know, the blessings of God can come upon our lives. But when we act a jack like Corinth here and feel like, you know, hey, you know, we all holy, you know, you can't make all the decisions. Let me make some decisions sometime. Okay, well, to kind of paraphrase it, you know, God told Corinth and the other three guys that was with him, he said, y'all come back tomorrow, bring you some censers, you know, put some incense in there and burn it, and we're gonna see who is the Lord's and who God says is holy, you know, and who's with God and who's not. So they came back, you know, and then Moses and those who were behind him was following him. God told Moses to tell the people to back away, because I'm about to consume Corinth and his 250 plus whoever, how many it was, because a lot of times that was just the men. That didn't include the women and the children, you know, so it could have been a couple of thousand, you know. And Moses said, Lord, are you gonna destroy all of these people just because one person, you know, is acting a jack? The thing I want to bring home with that is dishonor can be contagious. Okay? It can be contagious. You got to be careful. And see, that's one of the reasons why when somebody operates in dishonor, I being trained properly, recognize I have to distance myself. I have to distance myself. And the reason being is because whatever resentment, whatever bitterness, whatever envy, whatever heartbreak that's on them, if you're around them too much, guess what? It's going to come up, you know? And if you're not strong, you can find yourself having self-pity and you know, yeah, you got a good point. Yeah, you know, no. God told me I didn't call you to Kansas. I called you here. So I'm not going to roll in the mud with you in self-pity. I'm going to continue on with my assignment, you know, and it's just the way it is, you know, because, you know, I'm like my wife made the statement. She says, honey, we got too much seed in the ground. You know, I'm not giving all that up. You know, we got a destiny that we're headed. We're heading somewhere. And you got to look at the big picture, you know. But anyway, that's contagious. And you don't want to, you know, get caught up into it, you know. It says anytime the seed of dishonor is sown, Anytime you have the seed of dishonor sown, in the situation with Miriam and Aaron, right, the chapter, which was the chapter 12 or chapter 13 and going into 14, was when they sent the spies out to spy the land, and Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. It was right before a spiritual advancement for the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of times you'll have dishonor that'll take place, or something will happen to stir up the nest. But because God's about to break some break, I don't want to use the word breakthrough, but you might begin to enter into a greater dimension of your inheritance and the blessing that God has for you, you know, to try to sidetrack you. And what the author says here, it says that anytime you have dishonor, you know, our conduct of dishonor being sown, most of the time it's going to precede a tremendous spiritual advancement. You know, remember, dishonor will inhibit the flow of the anointing and stop a move of God from happening. You know, when you go through it properly and stay focused, well, then a lot of times a tremendous spiritual advancement in your life will take place, and that's so very important. In developing honor, it's a daily process. You're constantly growing. You're constantly, you know, one of the things I try to do, and I was sharing this with somebody earlier today, study to be quiet. You can never learn anything when you're sharing your revelation and your scriptures. You know, when I'm around Dr. Jeffrey Phillips or Dr. Ron Walker, I'm quiet before them because I recognize another level. There's something that they can impart to me, you know, so I'll speak and then I'll just, you know, stand and listen. If they share something with me, I receive it, you know. Same way with the apostle, you know. But then a lot of times you'll be around other people and you just, you know, I always, you know, Because it's not about, you know, a lot of times you have the choir preaching to the choir. You know, I know that, you know that. Well, let's be about our Father's business. You know, I don't have to prove, you know, honor is serving and submission, but at the same time, it's serving adequately, serving right. And properly and knowing protocol. That's so very important, knowing protocol. When you're in the military, you don't just go babbling away to the general or to the master sergeant or the, you know, whoever who's have a commanding presence before you. You're standing at attention and you're waiting on orders, you know. Are you letting him speak? Yes, sir, you know, whatever it takes, you know. And by your service and your yieldingness in military, I'm just using that as an example, that shows your commitment and your loyalty. One of the things, I got 34 seconds left. Into next semester, we're going to talk a lot about loyalty, how it's so very important to walk in loyalty. You know, loyalty is when you're pledging your allegiance to something because you're loyal to it, you know. You know, like we pledge allegiance to the flag, we're loyal to this country because of the freedoms that we operate in this country, you know. Well, when you're loyal to a ministry or a man of God, it's because of the anointing and the blessing and the covering that provides for you. And my time is out. Amen. All right, see you guys next week.